Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, here is a would you rather question. Would you rather be on a commercial flight knowing that the pilot is asleep in the cockpit or undergo surgery knowing that your doctor was going to walk out halfway so they could have sex with a nurse?
Yeah.
Now, the reason I ask this is because a new survey found that 93% of pilots, yeah, they admit to sleeping on the job, as in during the flight. Meanwhile, across the pond in the UK, a doctor is being reprimanded because he walked out of a surgery to have sex with a nurse. That is correct. I don't know if it makes you feel any better or worse. They said he was gone for a total of 8 minutes. Now, the doctor was actually caught in the act. The pilots only admitted to it because it was an anonymous survey where people tend to be a lot more honest about things when you can't trace it back to them. But here's the thing. All of that just reinforces the point that sometimes we get away with stuff, sometimes we get busted, but we very often do things that we're not supposed to be doing. For example, a statue of Humpty Dumpty, it was stolen from a miniature golf course in New Jersey and then dumped down the street. Now, whoever did this, they knew damn well they're not supposed to do that, but also, why not? They didn't get caught, so no problem. And at Cornell University, two students caused controversy when they butchered a bear in their dorm room. They were caught, but also, they didn't break any laws, so were they really caught? I mean, maybe it was in bad taste, but even Cornell University said, man, we went through our code of conduct. We don't have anything about butchering animals in the dorm room, so there's just nothing we can do. I mean, there you go.
Yeah.
They went through it, and they got nothing about butchering animals. But that leads to today's question, because, look, here's the thing, man. We've all done something we weren't supposed to be doing, or sometimes we did something at a time that we were supposed to be doing something else. It doesn't matter, because today's question, brought to you by our friends at Advanced Air Restoration, is what did you get caught, or what did you not get caught doing?
To be a part of the big show, call 206-803-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook, follow us on X and Instagram at Men's Room Live. Send your emails to the Men's Room at KISW.com, and now watch the show live on YouTube at KISW-ROCK.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All the tolls away we go. Welcome to the 20th anniversary season, episode number 4,391. What a large and in charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat, exciting return of Ted versus the FCC. Round two on the Ted versus the FCC Star Wars edition submission.
What was it about?
It was about Han Solo. And he would zip and slip into his dip ship.
Yes.
Oh. And his lip was hip, but snipped.
Yeah.
I think he got through maybe one time last week. Only one verse, I believe.
It was pretty quick.
Yeah, it was. It was.
I don't remember. We were all hyped up about 20th anniversary stuff.
That is correct.
Yeah, right. 4:35 coming up. We'll do a little Ted versus the FCC. What else do we have for you today? We will drink and toast the weekend with Shot of the Day. This Bad Choice Friday.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
It's Bad Choice Friday.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
Hey, man, this is your fault.
Come on.
Ted, you know what day is?
It's a Friday.
Holiday. It's a holiday. No, we have two holidays we're celebrating.
Oh, okay.
Well,
yes. Yeah. We have two holidays.
Hump Day?
We're going to celebrate them both today. Yes, exactly. Hump Day. First of all, it is National Chocolate Milkshake Day.
Chocolate only.
Remember, National Vanilla Milkshake Day, I believe, is in June.
It's in June. And Mike came in lying, saying it's a National Milkshake Day, which is not the case, Mike. It's National chocolate milkshake.
I don't see flavors. All I see is milkshakes.
Okay. Sure. Sure.
So I took up a little information.
But he prefers vanilla.
National chocolate milkshake day.
He'll tolerate a chocolate.
You know, I'll jump into a chocolate from time to time. You know, dip my toes.
It's every September 12th that brings chocolate and ice cream lovers together. They say forget the calories for just this one day and enjoy a sweet, tall, thick, and delicious chocolate milkshake.
I do that anytime I get a milkshake.
Yes. The term milkshake first appeared in print in 1885. Do we know how the milkshake started?
Yes.
This is fascinating.
I'm almost positive the dude, his ice cream machine, like, didn't stay at temperature and it kind of melted or something. Maybe that's the Frosty.
Okay, that could have been the Frosty. All right.
Damn it.
They say during the period, a milkshake.
Mike, 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 Mike.
This is what a milkshake was. It was referred to as an alcoholic beverage, described as a sturdy, healthful eggnog type of drink, blended with eggs, whiskey, and other ingredients.
All right.
Whiskey.
Actually, pharmacies would serve the drink as a tonic and a treat to customers. Now, by the 1900s, pharmacies offered up this wholesome drink with either chocolate, strawberry, or vanilla. So they had three flavors at first.
So it's pharmacies that came up with it. Like,
yes.
Let's flavor the medicine we're giving them.
People began asking for this new treat with a scoop of ice cream. Now, in 1911, here's what happened. Hamilton Beach, they began making drink mixers. And they were starting to be used at soda fountains and soda shops, jerk shops, and all those things. Then in 1922, soda jerk, you
massage parlors.
Stephen Poplawski, he invented the electric blender or drink mixer in 1922. This changed the game. Stephen Poplawski. Now, due to the invention of the blender, the milkshake began to take a chipped, aerated, and frothy form, the one we know today. Now, by the 1920s and 30s, milkshakes became a popular drink at malt shops everywhere. And another addition to the milkshake was malted milk powder.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they say if you've never had a chocolate malted milkshake, you need to try one immediately.
My father lived for those.
Made from malted barley, wheat flour, and dehydrated whole milk. Malted milk basically tastes a bit like toasted caramel. It made its debut in the 1870s as a shelf-stable dry milk product or substitute. And the powder to a chocolate milkshake that transforms the creamy goodness into a malted chocolate milkshake, which became incredibly popular in the 1920s. The question they asked about in the article, how do you observe Chocolate Milkshake Day? Any guesses on how you...
I would imagine you drink a chocolate milkshake.
That is correct.
Boom!
All right.
I put my ass on Jeopardy.
I couldn't believe they waited for the end to tell you.
That is shocking.
That really is.
So we should have gotten a bunch of chocolate milkshakes in here in the studio.
You guys would be mad at me by now. But I agree. Yes, we should have.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you get at Starbucks. It's no different.
It's a lot different because it doesn't necessarily make me fart anymore. But if I get a chocolate shake, you got 20 minutes before my ass is on
maybe
fire.
I should DoorDash some.
Today is also National, it'll probably meld, National Video Games Day.
You could get a milkshake delivered. I've heard.
Okay.
I have done that.
They say parents used to fight with their kids over spending too much time playing video games. Plenty still do. But some gamer parents encourage their kids to play video games. And that might be a good thing, they say, in moderation. Since today is National Video Games Day, according to a study published last year, kids who play video games earn more money as adults. The difference is notable, but not gigantic, but it is notable. They found that adults who played video games as children now earn annual salaries that are an average of about $5,500 higher per year than non-gamers.
Good news for my son.
Suck it, jocks.
Those who played FIFA lead the pack, earning nearly $71,000 a year. For comparison, the median annual salary for U.S. workers is about $60,000. Candy Crush is second. So you don't even need to be playing complex video games. Mobile games count as well on National Video Games Day. As for consoles, PlayStation gamers make more than those who play on Nintendo, Xbox, Box, or PCs. Here are a few other stats. People who play video games as kids, 71% more likely to have received a promotion recently.
Mm.
People believe the biggest benefits of video games are stress relief, relaxation, entertainment and fun, strategic thinking, problem-solving skills, and hand-eye coordination.
But wait, just last week, video games are the reason that the youth are just going to hell.
That's right.
It's going to hell, man.
Study also claimed 48% of children who play video games have excellent grades in school. 58% have excellent social lives with other kids and kids they play with online. Overall, a whopping 95% of today's parents have let their kids play video games to some extent, even if they monitor which games they play.
Well,
so,
yeah.
It's two holidays today. We have National Chocolate Milkshake Day, and we have National Video Games Day. So, representing National Video Games Day, are you ready for this? The band known as Buckner and Garcia.
Pac-Man fever.
Pac-Man fever. It's driving me crazy.
Wow.
Never heard this one, Ted.
I have not. And I meant to listen to it before the show. Just like, wow.
We are old enough that I remember the song coming out. It was huge.
Really?
Uh-huh. Pac-Man had exploded onto the arcade scene, right? So you still didn't have a lot of arcades and malls, but you'd find pinball and you'd find Pac-Man, right? So this was like the first video game outside of Space Invaders and all that. That basically just lit the country on fire. So beginning, everyone playing video games now, Pac-Man is kind of the one that... that made it socially acceptable, so this guy jumped on the train and released that blisteringly brilliant tune, Pac-Man Fever.
Could you guess who is representing Milkshake?
It's got to be Kellis.
It's got to be Kellis.
Milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours, damn right. It's better than yours, I could teach you.
This song is as stupid as Pac-Man Fever.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
I think the difference is the guys that did Pac-Man Fever knew their song was stupid.
Please, Milkshake, take it on Buckner and Garcia and Pac-Man Fever. Vote now. If you follow us on X at Men's Room Live, one of those two tunes coming up.
I will say, that's the first legit Bad Choice Friday we've had in a minute.
As far as the songs being bad.
I don't really like either.
You don't like the Milkshake song?
I like the video.
Sure.
Okay.
But the song is
like
terrible.
Song,
I mean, the thing with Pac-Man Fever, it is not good. It's terrible. But like anything, they're kind of poking fun at it. So you go like, okay, this is funny. I don't think that Kellis, I don't think she knew that her song sucked.
Nah.
I think she was doing it like seriously.
Milkshake, big song, but it's kind of like a lady anthem. I'm not a lady.
Which could be, Ted.
See, I went to the phonetic thing to pronounce it. It says Kellis.
Kellis?
Yeah.
It
says
Kellis.
Kellis?
Kellis?
Kellis.
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 Milkshake girl.
Kellis.
That's how we know her.
She was married to Nas.
Was she?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're not anymore.
Nope.
How long did it last?
Few years.
Okay.
There was rumors she was linked up with Bill Murray, too, but...
Nas or Bill Murray? I can see the similarities.
I think Bill Murray's got a type.
He does. It's called Black Women.
That is... You know that. First hand.
I do. I do. Him, Robert De Niro, and who was the president?
Bill Clinton?
No. He liked all women. Who's the guy?
George Bush.
Kennedy?
One of the forefathers. It was
Jefferson.
Jefferson. Yeah.
Jefferson.
He's all about that chocolate milkshake.
There's a handful of Jeffersons running around.
Yes, there are.
Bill Burr.
Bill Burr.
Who's the guy? He looks like a clown even without makeup. He does a late night talk. Bill Maher.
Oh, yeah, there's another one.
Cody Rhodes.
See, what you don't know, Thrills, there's a whole list. Us white guys get white guys get married. Black women.
Yeah. Well, there's a convention every year.
Yeah.
There is.
Yeah, exactly. It's in Provo. Yeah. It's a place like that. It's in Boise. Perfect. Who knows?
Yeah.
Actually, it's in Atlanta.
Yeah. Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you could go as a single man.
Right.
Hopefully. You never know. Moving on to the question, what did you get caught doing or what did you not get caught doing? We start with this one.
Hey, every chocolate milkshake starts with a base of vanilla.
Does the Varsity have milkshakes? I think they do.
Who?
The Varsity in Atlanta.
I don't know.
The famous hot dog place.
You should. If you have hot dogs, you should have hot dogs,
you've got 10 milkshakes. A doctor left a patient on an operating table under anesthesia to go and have sex with a nurse in another room.
I know how bad that sounds.
A medical tribunal has heard.
But I kind of understand. Like, you shouldn't do that. But I kind of get it.
Dr. Sue Hale Anjum.
The Varsity does have a chocolate milkshake.
I knew it. And the unnamed nurse were caught in a compromising position by a shock colleague.
Chocolate, yeah.
At a hospital in Greater Manchester. The incident came to light in a fitness to practice hearing after Dr. Anjum, who'd been living in Pakistan, applied to work in the UK once again. Now, he did not dispute the evidence against him presented by the medical council.
Yeah, I got that as.
During the hearing, he said his behavior had been shameful. The consultant, anesthesiologist or anesthetic.
It's so shameful.
Had said he needed a comfort break.
Yeah.
And asked another nursing colleague to monitor the male patient halfway through the procedure. Instead, Dr. Anjum went to another operating theater at the hospital. He had sex with a woman referred in the hearing as Nurse C.
I call them mud flaps, but you go ahead and call the Nurse C.
What did he say he needed? A comfort break. Oh, yes.
And he took comfort in the loins of another employee.
Now, Andrew,
it's basically Grey's Anatomy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Andrew Malloy said the nurse who walked in on the pair had been shocked and quickly walked through the theater to the exit doors. He was gone for about 8 minutes. And came back into the operating area to complete his work.
I bet you the only thing he asked in that report, could you make it sound like 20 minutes or 25? No, 8.
No harm came to the patient as when he was absent from the operating room. The procedure went on without further incident. He said the nurse who discovered them went on to report the matter to her line manager. Now, before the case was opened, the doctor said he did not dispute the facts of the case and admitted to what he did with, quote, Nurse C.
Yeah, me and my flaps did that, yeah.
Nurse C.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nurse C.
He admitted the actions had a potential to put his patient at risk. He said he knew she was likely to be nearby when he left. He said it was quite shameful, to say the least. I only have myself to blame. He said he had let his colleagues and the hospital down. I offer my sincere apologies to everyone involved. I want the opportunity to put this right. Doctor added the incident happened after a stressful time for his family when he and his wife were failing to connect as a couple following the birth of his daughter.
Let me ask this.
Hey, come on, man.
If he just left the room for 8 minutes, do you think he'd be in trouble, or is it because he was having sex?
I think it's because he was having sex.
Yeah. All right.
Because he said he wanted a comfort break. And the way the article implies that, I guess you can do that, at least in the UK, you can do that, no one bats an eye. But if I said, hey, I need a bathroom break, and I'm gone for 8 minutes, and you walk into the bathroom, and I'm railroading some broad in there, like, it would be different. Like, we're cool to give you a moment to walk away. Can you not have sex on these premises with an employee?
Yeah.
I mean, that's all. And it's just because he got caught.
He could have gone outside and got a smoke.
They wouldn't say anything.
That's perfect.
I take smoke breaks.
You think part of it's more exciting because
yes.
there is a patient in the other room?
I was going to say the risk of getting caught. But sorry. Maybe. Also, hey. He could die.
Yeah.
Here's a guy. I'm not in there.
Will you ever have, like, sex while you're cooking? It's kind of more fun. Is the chicken going to burn?
While I'm cooking?
No.
While things are cooking.
Oh. If there's something in the oven, then you go knock them out.
I mean, look, dude, if it's an hour-long pot pie, maybe.
Right. If it's something that's going to take a hot minute, but if it's, like, a frozen pizza.
No.
Like, frozen pizza. Like, I'm not doing this,
I'm cooking on the stove, no.
Yeah.
Really?
No.
Yeah, I have.
No. Really? What were you cooking?
You just bring the heat down to low a little bit.
Yeah, chicken.
You could just wait and eat the chicken and then go have sex?
No.
Miles, you could.
I wouldn't. I'd be like, dude, let's eat the chicken first.
No, you eat the chicken during.
I would say, he's eating chicken while getting
it. Yeah, right. I mean, while we're
eating. A lot of stones coming from that glass house.
you're saying during the cooking process.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to take a break when you're eating dinner and go knock one out, you're not going to burn anything.
Just saying, you're cooking dinner.
I don't want to ruin it.
She walks in, things are accessible.
Was it in the kitchen?
I would turn
it.
Yeah,
I would too.
No, I'd turn it down.
Yeah.
Because you still want it to cook. You want it to keep on going.
So I turn the chicken down.
Make sure you're not going to burn nothing.
Yeah. But if I, like, hey, man, this is going to last a hot minute.
Yeah.
Right? Then turn it off. If it's just like, all right, I'm going to keep this on warm, so let's just get this out of here.
No, I'm with you.
Because sometimes you do the quickie.
Like, that's what it is.
You just want to get this out.
You're not making love.
Okay, then
you're making dinner.
You cook it.
Yeah.
So,
Jesus. And she just walks in and points like,
This doctor was caught. Here's a story of someone who has not been caught.
All right.
Humpty Dumpty took a big fall, and now police are hoping to crack the case.
Jesus Christ.
A colorful statue of the nursery rhyme icon was forcibly removed from a structure at a miniature golf course in Cape May, New Jersey on Sunday. Then dumped down the street. Cape May, by the way, one of the most beautiful little towns I've ever been in.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
And if you've never been to these little beach towns on the East Coast, like, the miniature golf courses are everywhere.
Every freaking
And area. they're typically 50, 60 years old. Oh, they have been there, like your grandparents played miniature golf there when they were, you know, young kids. Video shows one of the men entering the course by climbing over a fence. He grabbed and rocked the statue back and forth, and he pulled Humpty Dumpty off its foundation before walking away. With Humpty Dumpty, what?
There's nothing going, sacred.
They're seen on video at putt golf at around 4 a.m. The statue shows the smiling Humpty Dumpty walking away with a man. He is complete with a big white head, red cheeks, a yellow bow tie, a blue jacket.
We know what Humpty Dumpty looks like.
Draw Humpty Dumpty.
He's an egg.
Yeah.
He's an egg with a bow tie.
All the king's horses and all the king's men cannot figure out where these people are who stole Humpty Dumpty. A message was left at a phone number listed for Ocean Putt Golf, whose Instagram page shows the statue above one of the courses. That's actually very good.
Well, thanks. It's Humpty freaking Dumpty.
Holes earlier this year. Cape May police detectives were asking for the public's help in identifying the two men seen in multiple videos posted on the department's Facebook page. If you have any information regarding the people who took Humpty Dumpty, please contact the Cape May, New Jersey Police Department.
There's nothing sacred anymore.
It really is not. But they're still, they're on the loose. They're on the line.
Was Humpty Dumpty broken at all, or they just discarded?
Oh, yeah, no, they dumped it down the street. Humpty Dumpty is basically, it's need of great repair.
But it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's Humpty Dumpty. I mean, the whole story's that his ass broke, and they couldn't put him together.
Horses and men. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, I don't think you need to arrest these people. Find out who they are. It's two drunk dudes. Make them pay for Humpty.
Yeah.
But a crime's a crime, Ted. It's Humpty Dumpty. You stole something from the miniature golf course. You broke Humpty's ass in the middle of the street. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. It is stupid. But we can't decide, well, it's Humpty Dumpty, so that's less important than, you know, something. Like, come on, man.
Where's the value of life, Ted? I mean,
Jesus. You really should check out the show on our YouTube page.
Tim's is having
a time. KISW Rock. Yeah, it's
Tim's having a time.
It's good stuff. Our question, now, what did you get caught doing or what did you not get caught doing? 206-803-ROCK. Back with your calls right after these.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK from the Pinkies Plumbing Studio. You're in the men's room.
Men's room now live for your viewing pleasure. Check us out on YouTube at KISW Rock.
Yeah.
Good times. Be sure to subscribe to the channel. Also, do us a favor. If you like this fine program, give us the old thumbs up.
Yeah, baby.
That smash or like burger.
Smash that like button. Don't forget to subscribe.
That's right.
Yeah.
Our question, what did you get caught doing or what did you not get caught doing? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Matthew. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
So, I've done a lot in my life, caught and not caught. But one of the things I'm more proud of is when I was a young man, I was a lift operator for a couple years. And I got away with having sexual relations in the lift shack while working.
While working.
Now, what does that what does that job entail?
Well, there was different. We had different lifts. We had two chair lifts and then what was called a surface lift. And I was working the surface lift that particular night. It was night skiing as well.
Right. Oh, how many employees are in this place at the time you're getting away with this?
Just me and my participant.
Oh, okay.
Was this at a local establishment that maybe we know?
Mm-hmm. It was in Southeast. No, not here in Washington, no.
Okay.
Ah, okay. Now, I'm assuming this was a coworker of yours, or did you call her in?
No, she was a coworker. It was a one-man station. I was working it by myself. She just showed up. I think she had gotten off work at her station, was on lunch break, dinner break, whatever you want to call it, and she just came over to the lift shack.
And then how does that happen? I have plenty of female coworkers who might be on break, but they haven't just said, hey, Thrill, man, I got 10 minutes. You want to have sex?
Why does my coffee taste funny?
She had some kind of crush on me, and it was all her idea. I had no idea. I was surprised as heck.
I mean, I would think, too, it's night skiing, so most of those people know what they're doing. You don't need to keep an eye on them. They're fine.
And how many?
Mostly kids, actually, because it was a surface lift, so it was the bunny hill.
Oh, so then you're a bad employee.
Yeah, the kids, they're fine.
They're not going to get hurt on the green slope.
A pile up for sure.
How many times did you have sex with this chick while you're working?
Actually, it happened twice because it happened at a topless station as well, which wasn't as involved because you just sat there and watched people get off the chairlift.
Now, were you, you're trying to be discreet, but did you have an eye on the people getting off the chairlift while you're having sex?
Yes, but we went Bill Clinton. I did not have intercourse with that woman.
Oh, all right. Okay, so you had a perfect view.
Yeah, she was under you'd sit in your chair and you had kind of a window in front of you. Basically, the patrons can only see from, by the way.
You should have put your goggles on.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I had a big grin. I was the happiest lift operator during those moments.
You know, you probably got a good Yelp review. Like, I don't know what it is, but the guy at the top of the chair is just so happy.
Smiling. Hey, lift operator question. Nothing to do with sex.
How do you, if you're up on the mountain, like a lift, how do you guys get up there?
We ride the chair up.
And then how do you get, you just ride the chair back down, or you take your skis with you?
You either or, the people they trusted, they'd let you ski down. If they didn't trust you as a skier or a snowboarder, then you rode the lift down. Well, or if you didn't ski or snowboard.
Well, it just seems to me
that didn't ski or snowboard.
That's wild.
I get that you can operate a chairlift without being a skier. It would just seem to me that the people I would choose to hire anyway, like, could also
in the event of an emergency
or snowboard.
It's like having a lifeguard that can't swim.
Exactly. I mean, I can watch the kid drown.
I can throw out, you know, something to you, but that's all I got.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that seems weird to me.
Here, grab this.
That whole story felt like an alternative for a Friday the 13th plot. If you remember, the whole plot of the movie was that, you know, Jason died out there on the lake because the two counselors were getting it on in the cabin.
Oh,
and he's watching
right.
kids at the top of the lift, like, oh, not paying attention. All of a sudden, this kid just falls, whoop, boom.
I will tell you,
they write the horror movie.
They were making love up in the lift shack.
I'm not going to say it's because of weed, but lift operators, you know, that's a friendly group of people.
It's because of the weed.
And they're always, like, in a good mood.
You think at higher altitude.
Look, I used to work at a TV station where, basically, they had a set camera.
Mm-hmm.
You had a button, you had a script, and that camera was, it was you. So it was a one-man operation, all right? So I wonder how many people out there in the television world have done the same.
Sure.
You mean as they're giving you the news?
That is correct.
I mean, well, the weekend got that stuck because they got to talk.
Yeah. You got to talk, right? Talking's a different ballgame.
Like, we have a tragic story going out of Washington, D.C. today.
Because the place I worked on the weekends, they only had an 11 o'clock newscast.
All right.
So there was staff there during the day. But by the time you got to the broadcast, you were done. I mean, those guys had left. And it wasn't big enough to do like a two-shot situation or anything.
Yeah,
it was just one camera right on you. You had a button or like a kind of a little thing that you pressed on the floor, and that would scroll down your script.
Right.
You set up the script. You set up everything else. It was a one-man show. So I know.
It could be done, but I'm a thrill. I just think there's certain moments where it'd be hard to talk.
Not during the broadcast. Like, I always wonder, I'm the weatherman. I'm in front of a green screen. I'd be like, hey, baby, just wear all green.
Just wear this.
Yeah. Ooh, the weather today, man.
Now you see the outline.
Yeah.
What did you get caught doing or what did you not get caught doing? 206-803-ROCK.
69 and moist.
I'm just saying.
60 moist degrees. Hello, Johnny. Welcome to the men's room.
Blowing hard from the west. Hola.
Hola.
How are you guys doing today?
Wait, it's a positive Friday.
Positive Friday, brother.
We cannot wait for the weekend.
Positive. Fair enough. So my story goes back about 25 years or so. I was working as a barista in a coffee stand or a coffee shop that was inside a big box store, if that makes sense.
Okay,
And then go do your holiday shopping, whatever. And so what we would do was, after about 6 months of working there, you got to memorize the prices over and over and over again of what everything costs after taxes. And so if somebody would come along and they'd say, I want a 12-ounce latte, you'd say, okay, it'll be $2.82 after tax. And if they start putting their money on the counter, like they're going to count it out to the exact change, the first thing you would say was, would you like a receipt? And they say, oh, no, thanks, I don't need a receipt. You go, okay, no problem, we'll have your coffee up for you at the end of the table. Well, if they put the exact change on the table, that exact change went right exactly into my tip jar.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the usual, I guess I should not promote that, but that is a well-known thing, right? When people pay in cash, if they don't want a receipt, and it's kind of hard to keep inventory. So what do you do as far as inventory of the cups go?
Well, every once in a while, there'd be a few that were stepped on or whatever, and you just kind of, it just became the cost of doing business. And it really did, I mean, there wasn't a lot of us doing it, so it really equated to maybe two or three of us getting an extra $3 or $4 an hour.
Well, okay, but when you do that, right, and look, I'm not against it, it is what it is, I don't care, but you have to make sure you're working with the right coworkers, right? So did you ever pull this move and have a coworker that kind of gave you the side eye?
No, but what's funny is the coworker that I learned this about, so after I quit that job and then went off to the military and came back a few years later, I happened to be at that store around holiday time when everybody has to be, you know, all hands on deck.
Yeah.
So I'm shopping around and I see my old manager there. We get to talking and he says, hey, you remember that gal? And it happened to be the gal that taught me this. I said, yeah, what about her? He goes, man, corporate got a hold of her, and she got this. She got caught. Well, apparently she'd done this to two or three different stores that she just kind of bounced around when she would get transferred around. And yeah, it was quite a big deal.
How did they bust her because it's on video, or did they just do the math?
I have a feeling somebody either heard about it or told the wrong person that then told the right person, or just didn't feel right about it. Something.
Yep, loose lips, man.
I got a buddy was a waitress, and I knew her pretty well. And the one thing we got was free fountain sodas.
Sure.
I mean, as many as you wanted.
Yeah.
We could sit and watch football. We didn't care. I mean, you could still have beers. I mean, you pay for your beers.
Pay for the beer, right?
But when it came to fountain sodas, because the bartender hooked her up with the beers.
Yeah.
But she was in charge of the soda station. So, I mean, like, if you're knocking down five or six sodas, wasn't a big deal. Never came on the tab. I was like, this is awesome. And it was also not free refills. This was the place that had the big red cups.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you got big ass sodas, man.
There's nothing wrong with that, man. Yeah.
That place was Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh, isn't that the story with like working at movie theaters?
Oh yeah, just refill the popcorn and all.
Because they only really count the cups. You can't count how much soda goes out.
Nope.
So if you just bring in a cup.
Well, the golden ticket on that one was this. So typically, they in certain instances they would pop popcorn for. It would last for two or three days.
Yeah.
So they would bag it up. They would put it back into the popcorn area because the light gives it the heat.
Sure.
All right. Now, somebody did not get butter on their popcorn. All right. You looked in the movie theater to find that container because they only counted containers.
Yeah.
Right. So it was the vessel. They didn't really do it as much with the sodas as they did with the popcorn.
Sure.
And if you didn't get butter, they wouldn't look for that because they wanted that because it was unaccounted for now.
Mm-hmm.
So the next time they sold that, it's whatever, $5 straight in your pocket. Or whatever.
It makes sense, man.
Yeah. What did you get caught doing, or what did you not get caught doing? 206-803-ROCK.
I hate paying for
I will
for
also
popcorn.
Say that...
you hate what?
Paying for popcorn.
What do you mean you hate paying for?
Like at a sports
event. Just how much they charge?
How much they charge in between Cobb's popcorn and Smith Family popcorn.
Oh, I know. Oh, you're a snob now.
I know how ridiculously low the price is to make it.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah. Well, same thing with pizza. I mean, as far as foods go. Yeah. Most of the time, but pizza, it's like, look, all of us will spend a certain amount of money on pizza because we really like it. But when you break down the food costs, it's like, I don't know how you go out of business.
Right. So the movie theater would basically shut down at around 11, depending on how long the movie was.
Yeah.
11, 1130, somewhere in there. 9 o'clock was the last movie, typically. Craig would have this thing called Thursday Night Midnight Movies. He would have to put together the reels and everything for the new movies that came out on Friday.
Yeah.
But he would get them on Thursday. So at midnight, we would go down there and we would... Most of the if there was a decent movie, we would watch it, preview it on Thursday night at midnight, have popcorn, have sodas, have drinks. You know, we knew the movie before the movie even came out. It was absolutely free. It's a free night every Thursday night at midnight.
Yeah, my buddy Tony worked in a movie theater for like 2 years. I didn't get free concessions, but we never paid to go see the movie. Me and Paul would roll up. He'd let us in, and we go see whatever. Like I said, we had to buy our own crap, but I didn't really mind because at that time, I didn't have a job. It's my parents' money.
Right.
So I'm like, cool.
It used to be the same way with people who rip tickets. Now you want to get in on somebody, man, who's a valuable person to know. It's the person that has, you know, that works a gate at the basketball arena or the football before all the digital stuff came around.
Oh yeah,
I mean you would just you just walked.
We
up
did
with
it
guys,
at Maryland games all the
guys.
Time.
I mean you have three or four guys, man. You just go in there and somebody had paid him back something.
Yeah,
somebody was a bartender. Somebody you know delivered subs. I mean he got his too. I mean
our thing was we had one guy. And he was an older dude. He had done it for years. And I know him through sports and school. His thing was you just had to give him something to rip.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? And the only time he got mad at us is one time somebody was trying to sneak in liquor or something. They got caught. And he's just like,
right.
I'm letting you in for free.
Right.
Do not get caught sneaking in liquor.
Drink it outside.
But also, college stadiums are a little looser.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? Like, I know a friend that got into that epic Washington and Oregon game a couple of years ago. And just same thing. Like, dude's like, my buddy works this one side gate, and you just stand there. And then the guy will just go, like, lift up the thing and be like, all right, walk, go, go.
Yeah, go, yep. go.
You just mix it.
Years ago, man, when I was in high school in Baltimore, one of the high schools I went to, you would take just regular Metro bus to the high school. It's mostly students, but it's not necessarily a school bus, right? But it's just the time of it. And at that time... it was $1.25, I want to say, to ride it, but it didn't have the machines they have now. Now you have to unfold your dollar, you put it in the machine, right, and it sucks it in.
Right.
Well, back then, it was just a clear box, and it wasn't wide enough to fit a dollar bill, so everyone had to fold up their dollar bill and put it through the little slot. So a bunch of kids, when I was a sophomore, like the word just started going through the bus stop, like, hey, man, basically we have 10 bucks in ones at the beginning of every week because you're going to ride the bus the rest of the week, buck there, buck back. But they started, which is a federal crime, started ripping the dollar bill in half. But you'd fold it up and slide it through that thing, and the bus driver couldn't tell. Because no matter what,
you had to fold the dollar bill.
Right. So, but you took the other half, and you would go home. So by the end of the week, everyone would just have five ones. And at the time, that was great. And I would say it was a year and a half later, and they never announced it, but they converted to the unfold the dollar, slides into the machine. And at every bus stop, because I was maybe the third bus stop on the way to school, a bunch of us kind of stopped in our tracks because everyone had these half dollars in their pocket. And we had to find like a whole dollar to actually slide in there. Now, the bus driver, and this has been the same dude for years, he never called anyone out, but he basically saw everyone stop dead in their tracks and start reaching back in their pockets, pull out a full dollar bill, slide it in there. And I just remember he just looked at everyone and do the, and we were convinced we were the reason why they spent the money. Because I guarantee at the end of every week when they go through this, like, there's a bunch of half-dollar bills. And if they took their time, you would find the other half eventually. But there was a lot of halves in there. But that's how we saved money.
What did you get caught doing, or what did you not
get caught doing?
206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Dalton. Welcome to the men's room.
Dalton.
Hola, bitolas.
Hola.
How's it going?
It's Positive Friday, Dalton. It's going great. Hello, Dalton. Dalton, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
All right, why don't you tell us your story?
Yes, this was about 4 years ago. We were going up to a Seahawks preseason game. I think they were playing the Titans back then. And one of my buddies I have a deal with, so I work at a golf course, and so I trade him like free rounds of golf, and he gives me several of his like season tickets each year. So like we're going down to this game, it's me and my buddy. And we go in through that big, like, warehouse entrance, you know, where all that stuff is.
Convention center, yeah.
Yes, sir. And, I realized, like, when we get up there to get scans to, go in, he actually sent me a ticket for a regular season game and not a preseason game. And so I'm trying to get a hold of this guy because they won't let us in. And I can't get a hold of him. And so we think we're kind of screwed. And we're like, well, like, we've come too far now. You know, so we've got to find a way. And we're kind of walking around. Like, we're kind of casing the joint, essentially. And we go back around to that stairwell that's on, I believe it's on the west side. It's the one that kind of points out toward the waterfront a little bit.
All right. Yep. And, yeah.
Yeah. So you used to be able to walk up those stairs and go inside. And then you take a left and there's a door to lead you right back out to that same pavilion because there was an ATM over there.
Yep, I know exactly where you're at.
The one thing separating you from that was just those little fare gates that they would put up. And so like we're kind of walking around and we're looking, and there's only one security guard there, and he's about 75 years old. And so we just kind of picked our moment, man. He was just kind of doing like a rotisserie style, just, you know, just looking at everybody, and he turned his back, and we just kind of pulled that gate open and slid in, and we pretended like we were trying to get some cash out of the ATM, and we just walked in the stadium.
Nice.
All right. Okay.
Hey, it's, you know what? It's preseason.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's they should just go, just come on.
It's fine.
As long as you buy a hot dog and a drink, man, we don't care.
Yeah. I mean, once you're in, the concessions will do just fine.
Yeah. You'll get your money back from me. What did you get caught doing, or what did you not get caught doing? 206-803-ROCK.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why it's not outside of Cleveland. You know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.